This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Halfway home on a Tuesday, Ben and Woods, 97.3. The Fan, great to be here with you this morning. I'm Woodsy, that's Paul Rindo, the executive producer. Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. And yeah, just kind of talking through it. That's what we do here on the Ben and Woods program. We've done that a long time, you know, and have opened the phones and things like that. Just kind of talking through it ourselves. We don't know the answers, certainly. We don't know any more than you guys. I like to talk through it. I'm a big fan of talking through things. And I'm also a big fan. I was thinking about this last night. I'm really trying to get away from looking in the past in everything, for every aspect of my life, right? There's nothing I can do about my past. There's nothing you can do about yours, Ben, and as clean as it may be. Paulie, same thing. Can't do anything about it. To harp on I'm a solution-based person. I really am. I think, you know, my wife gets mad at me sometimes for that. Okay, great. How do we fix it? When instead, sometimes you just want to hear, you just need to be allowed to vent. I'm a solution-based person. So I can't do anything about long contracts that were handed out. Nothing. I can do nothing. Nobody can. Can't do anything about them, right? Especially us as fans. I mean, we are powerless. Should we have made some of the deals we've made? No, we shouldn't. How do we move forward? I'm a big fan of the moving forward. How do we move forward? If you're going to spin out about every bad deal you made or every bad trade, this isn't the right sport for you. I don't think. It's too long. It's too arduous. There's too many games. It doesn't make you – it's not some insightful thing to say, we shouldn't have signed this guy for this much. You're right. You're absolutely right. How do we move forward? You know, what's the best path forward here? That's kind of where my head has been all season long. I can't get bogged down, Ben, in things I can't change and things I can't control and deals that shouldn't have been done. They're done. You know, you got to live with it at this point. But, you know, and I think it is a fair question to ask about AJ Preller. You know, if he had the crystal ball and could have gone back and undone some of these deals, he would have, straight up. No question.
Of course. Look how well C.J. Abrams and Mackenzie Gore are performing right now right. For the Washington Nationals. And ultimately, you didn't get where you wanted to get with Juan Soto. Sure, there's a lot of deals you'd like to undo if you could. I do think there is a psychological reason, though, why, as fans, things feel especially bleak right now. And I was just looking at the stat from the UT this morning. The Padres have trailed in these five games. They've trailed at the end of 35 of the last 38 innings, and they've only led after one inning. That would be Sunday when Jake hit the two-run home run to take a 3-2 lead, and that was the end of the third inning, I believe. And then in the top of the fourth inning, the Phillies went right back ahead. So in terms of like minutes that the Padres have been ahead or even tied, because they've given up the lead in the first inning so many times in this five-game losing streak, they have constantly been behind. That wears down on you. Certainly as a fan, I think it wears down players as well to constantly be in a hole that you're trying to dig out of. Conversely, I will use basketball Ben here as a quick example. Lakers were eliminated last night by the Denver Nuggets. Fantastic game. Really great series. But ultimately, kind of got bodied. Gentlemen's sweep, as we call it. The four games to one. They got the one game at home. But the Lakers led like throughout that series. They were up like 140 minutes. The Nuggets only led about 50 minutes of the series. The Lakers were constantly in every game, up every game. Yeah, it was frustrating that they lost, but it felt competitive because they were up, they were around. I don't know that it's better or worse. Is it better to be leading a bunch and then all of a sudden have it ripped away from you at the end?
Those are tough.
Those are tough too, you know, like the Padres did in Colorado to start this losing streak, but to never be ahead, to be behind constantly, I think that's even more difficult. It feels more bleak. And these last four games in particular, Padres have never even had a thought like, here's a lead we can hold on to. Maybe like for 5 minutes, maybe, on Sunday, that there's like, oh, we got a lead to protect. Oh, it's gone. And once again, you're behind and you're trailing and you're constantly trying to chase the other team. Constantly trying to chase the other team. It's not a recipe for any sort of success, especially in baseball.
No, and I mean, hell, even getting down 1-0 last night, you're like, oh boy, here we go again, and Pro ties it up, and you're like, okay, now I like that, man. First batter says, no, not tonight, not in our house, and then you saw how it's...
That was one of the three innings that they weren't trailing at the end of, because
yep.
It was 1-1 at the end of one.
Yeah.
In the last four games.
Yeah, there's. I wish I had answers for you guys. I wish I did. I wish I had one magic pill I could give everyone to take it, and it would be okay. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. So, you know...
So far, your theory is still the best thing I've heard.
Well, and again,
batting second.
You look at the record at home, and it is a bit disheartening to have to come back every single night, and, you know, puts a little seed of doubt in your head of like, oh, boy, here we go again. I'm going to have to string something together. You get a chance to hit first. You score two or three runs. You feel, all right, good. We got this thing in hand. Right, yeah, they're going to get last ups, but we're going to continue to build. And it's the only explanation I can think of for why they play so poorly at home is because they're behind early all the time at home. That's really the only explanation I can think of. But I lament, you know, some of the deals that AJ Preller has done. He laments some of the deals that he has done. You're not going to find one GM that doesn't. But how much pressure do you think he's feeling right now, Ben? A pretty immense amount?
I mean, like, I'm sure, like, as a fan, he would like to see them do better. But in terms of pressure, I don't know that there's much that he can do at this point.
No. I mean, like, for to keep his job.
Pressure to win. Job security.
Job security.
Yeah, I mean, do you feel pressure when there's literally, like, almost nothing you can do about it? Is that pressure or is that just stress? He's probably stressed, but he doesn't have to come through. He's not the guy who's up at the plate. He's not the guy throwing pitches.
But the buck stops with him.
No, this is his team. I'm not saying he won't be evaluated on it, but he should have felt pressure this last offseason to put a good team together. Now, there's no more pressure.
You got to run with what you got.
You just run with what you got at this point, and you sink or swim. But there's no pressure on AJ Preller to do something because there's nothing that can really be done.
Right. Outside of
bring up a Donovan Solano.
Go get Brandon Bell. I'm so tired of talking about it at this point. You know, I mean,
you need your players that you have decided on already to come through.
Correct.
They're not in a building phase, they're in a their phase. And now it's up to the players and the coaches to either sink or swim. And it's up to then the Padres to evaluate whether or not AJ Preller did a good job putting the team together. Right now, doesn't look like he's done a terrific job, again, putting this team together the way they are performing at the moment. Could that change? Of course it could. But in terms of pressure, I don't know what is he doing. This, you know, I'm sure he's got a pit in his stomach like the rest of us do.
Yeah.
Watching it, probably more, knowing that, you know, his job is on the line. I would think, based on how the Padres perform, based on the comments during spring training from Eric Kitsenda and Eric Grubner, that there's no one who is above evaluation, and the results will kind of dictate how, you know, what we decide going forward in the future, that yes, absolutely on the line. Is there any move he can make right now, any trade that he can change the course of the 2024 season? I don't think so. I really don't think so.
Well, what's happening?
They're not one player away. They're not like so close. And if they just had one more bat in the lineup at the moment, it would turn things around. Maybe they can get to that point. But right now, they need five of their stars to start playing better. And then you can start thinking about the little moves you can add to fine-tune what is already a good team. But at the moment, they're beyond at the moment without some internal improvements.
The old internal meeting. Wonder if there was a team meeting last night. We didn't hear about it. Seemed like a good night to get the guys together.
Wonder if they've had any yet this year.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been pretty tight-lipped around there, certainly. But, yeah, so we'll have another, again, beauty of baseball. You got another game tonight. Got a chance to go out and completely, get back on the right track. It's going to be a tough order. Nick Martinez has not had the best start to his career in Cincinnati. Means literally nothing here. It means nothing. It means nothing. I mean, you doesn't matter the ERA. It doesn't matter how they struggled last time. We've seen it so many times. I'm more comfortable going against frontline pitchers, this Phillies series notwithstanding, than I am against some guy with a 5.48 ERA. Those are the guys that terrify me. They have ever since I've been a Padres fan. Those are the ones that I'm like, oh, we're about to get our lunch eaten for us.
We complain about the feast or famine Padres. I miss the feast.
I miss the feast.
Now they're just famine. Padres.
It's literally just famine. Move where the food is. Right? It's,
I'll take one day of feast, at least. Yeah. Give me a day of feast.
Yep.
Go back to feast or famine. Because this all famine all the time, it ain't no fun.
It's not fun at all. Not fun at all. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I know that there's probably, when things like this start happening, you see, I'm seeing people in our fan base get mad at Mudd and Don. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what? Because they're trying to entertain you during another horrific Padres game? Like, I don't know. I think your anger is misguided there. But I do feel that the Padres are really at a precipice early in the season. I mean, it's early in the season, and they're already staring down the barrel of fans going, bro, you got to show us something. And I don't disagree with that at all. You have to.
We said it a lot last year. If you are Peter Seidler, Eric Kotsenda, if you are in the Padres organization, the worst thing that can ever happen is apathy sets in with your fan base. And we're not even to May yet, and I think it's starting to settle in with at least some.
You see, I disagree with the apathy. I'm seeing, like, rage. That's what I see the most of, is, like, furiousness. But I'm not seeing anyone. Even Mike Schilt said,
oh, I've seen it,
last week, that he is, well, I mean, I see the standard, like, I'm turning the game off, whatever. They didn't. They didn't turn the game off. You know, they're watching. They're going to be watching tonight, you know. And what I'm seeing is, like, even Mike Schilt's like, look, you want people talking about your team, good or bad. You'd like to flip it back to the good every now and then, you know.
I don't feel like it's early anymore.
No, I don't either.
Even after just 32 games, though. It's beyond early. There's 130 games left.
Sure.
Now, mathematically,
it's
fairly
early.
Yeah. You could go 70-60 in your last 130 games. That's winning 7 out of every 13 games. Not exactly a world-beating pace, and that would get you to, what, 85, 86 wins, you know, threatening to make the playoffs. You don't have to play out of your mind the rest of the season to get out of a four-game hole under 500. You don't. You just have to play decent baseball the rest of the way, and you'll be fine. What worries me is that they've played 32 games, and I haven't seen enough decent baseball. I haven't seen enough good starting pitching. I haven't seen enough lineup, you know, consistency out of anybody that makes me feel like they're going to be a team that wins 70 out of their last 130 games, which isn't, again, that's not a remarkable stretch for any team. That's a very, all right, they were a little better than 500. They won 7 out of 13 games consistently over the course of the season, just a tick above 500 over every 2 weeks. And that you'll be fine. I haven't seen it, though. Show that to me, that you can do that over 2 week stretches. Play a little bit better than your opposition every 2 weeks, and you'll be okay. Let's see it, though, because I'm not seeing it right now from the Padres.
Talk a little Aztecs next. A little transfer portal, Benjamin.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. The transfer portal has gone completely nuts. And right now, the biggest losers in college basketball's new reality not just San Diego State, but the entire Mountain West Conference right now is in the torture chamber. We'll get to a little bit of that coming up. Check of traffic. Don't forget, Jesse Agler at the bottom of the hour. Submit your incorporator words on our YouTube stream, on our Twitter feed, at Ben and Woods. We will have a word for Jesse. It's Tuesday, so the incorporator is coming up at the bottom of the hour as well. Don't go anywhere. More Ben and Woods ahead after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm kind of used to getting some of the blame when the Padres perform poorly.
You personally?
Yeah, me and you, Ben and Woods.
Mostly you, but yeah, I see that.
Mostly me. You just said Don and Mudd are getting some of the hate. I'm sure Jesse feels it. We'll talk to him at the bottom of the hour. Incorporator coming up with Jesse.
People get mad.
People get mad at the broadcasters and the radio hosts.
It is funny. Like, I'll say something on like a Wednesday about a player, and I'll be like, hey, man, you know, he's probably shouldn't be in the lineup, and he'll get like three knocks. I'm pretty good at that. You know, so maybe tonight you bench Manny and Xander and Tatis, right? And just send a message. Watch them all go off. The reverse jinx has really worked quite well for me this year. But, yeah, at the end of the day, it's not our fault. It's not your fault, the fans, certainly. It's not your fault, Ben.
I was surprised, though, that I heard we're also getting some of the blame for San Diego State losing players in the transfer portal. Is that
true? Was it blame, Paulie, or was it...
Are we the problem now? Is it us?
So what happened?
I'm not exactly sure. I have not heard this. We were doing our YouTube members stream yesterday, and I got like four people that texted me and said, let's see, a buddy says, there's a Twitter Spaces chat happening tonight about the transfer portal, and someone just said, demand it. If you're on this call right now, tweet at Ben and Woods right now and tell them you demand more Aztecs coverage.
Okay.
Somebody else said, where was it? The local radio stations are to blame. The number one sports show in the morning on 97.3 doesn't give an S about SDSU basketball.
Okay.
Then my buddy said he sounded like he was about to cry.
The guy that said it?
Yeah. So he's also slurring some
words. I tend to disagree that it's our fault, that Elijah Saunders was the latest to enter the transfer portal yesterday. That was a surprise. He looked like he was maybe ready to take a step up next season and getting more minutes with Jaden Ledee gone. So, you know, I see where he'll land and, you know, what opportunities are out there. I'd imagine it's a financial decision again. I don't know that there's a ton of schools out there that are just itching to, you know, fork over large six-figure deals for Elijah Saunders based on his 6 points per game that he's put up at San Diego State. He does promising player. I would think he would have gotten a lot out of playing another season or two for Brian Dutcher
sure.
in the San Diego State basketball program. Will he find a better landing spot somewhere else? I tend to doubt it. And, you know, I don't want to criticize personal family decisions. Certainly, I understand Lamont Butler with the riches that are out there taking that opportunity to go play for Kentucky, which is a blue blood program. It's hard to criticize that. For Elijah Saunders, I guess we'll see where he lands, but my guess is there's a good chance he may end up regretting that decision of leaving San Diego State and a really good program with a good coaching staff.
Maybe he gets paid $250,000 and he's on a crappy team, but he's like, I wanted to get $250,000.
But even if he gets $250,000, we know the Aztecs are probably going to be playing in that NIL tournament, that players tournament. Who knows how much you might have gotten for staying
sure.
as well.
Yeah.
On
yeah.
a team that has gone to back-to-back Sweet 16s and beyond, there may be more riches in the future at San Diego State than trying to get the quick buck somewhere else in the transfer portal.
And it's hard to ask a kid, you know, to play the long game, certainly. And they're going to do what they want to do. They're going to do what the advice that they get from the people that are advising them, you know, probably their parents, like in Lamont Butler's case. So good for them that they made their decision. I fail to see the correlation, though. If we talked more about it, guys would stay more. I don't understand. Like, do you want me to fundraise for you?
Lamont Butler's like, you know what? We're just not getting enough coverage.
Is that? I failed to see the correlation here. And if you're one of those guys that was on those spaces, fire away.
I thought we had a good conversation about it yesterday.
I thought
you
we
guys
had
made
one
a really
Friday.
Good point
I thought, yeah,
about like, how if anyone's to blame on this show, at least it's me.
Paul Reindel.
I'm the alumni.
You're the alum.
Like.
Yeah, I didn't go there. It's not my responsibility to fundraise for your team. Right? You have a flagship station.
All they do is talk Aztecs.
That's what they're supposed to do. We talk about it when necessary, and I think, you know, when you lose three names in the portal, absolutely that deserves a but I don't understand the correlation. If we covered them more, Elijah Saunders wouldn't have left?
Like, do we need to start a GoFundMe? Hey, Aztec alums in the Tier 1 fan base. Donate now.
Yeah, go. Like I'll say, I'm happy to say right now, if you're an alum and you are tired of seeing players leave, go donate to the Mesa Foundation. That's all I can tell you to do.
But unless you like own a big tech company or something, I don't know that your $100 donation, as appreciated as it would be.
Micah Parrish yesterday was tweeting at Aztecs fans like about all of this yesterday. Yeah. It was pretty wild.
I saw that, but I mean, unless you can get all of San Diego to donate, you know, $50, which is never going to happen, I don't know that you don't have the fan base of a Duke or a Kentucky that's across the country and is probably 5 million people strong. You have San Diego, you have diehards, you have alums, you have people who live here that support the program. But even if they all donated, you're never going to get to the level of a Duke or a Kentucky in college basketball. So you're living in the economic class that you are living in, and you're going to try to make it as good as possible and get as much and squeeze as much as you can for your own players. But there's always going to be greener pastures out there. San Diego State's lawn is never going to be the greenest when it comes to college basketball. However, things could be worse. I just saw this morning, JT Toppin, the brilliant freshman of the year in the Mountain West for New Mexico, who looked like he was going to be an absolute star, maybe lift the Lobos past the Aztecs next season, just entered the transfer portal. Just brutal loss for New Mexico. Brutal loss.
It kills the conference. You know,
it
like
does.
When guys like that leave the conference, it brings not just your boat down. It in New Mexico, it brings everybody's boat down.
Boise State, which thought next year was going to be their year, they lost a couple of their key players in the transfer portal. It has been a really rough go for the Mountain West this year in the transfer portal in particular.
And again, I'll say this to the people on those spaces. We talk a lot of Padres baseball on this station. We did when we were on the other station that wasn't the flagship. Be careful what you wish for, because we talk about the Padres a lot, and they're terrible. So I don't know what you want. Like, I don't know that we're the actual solution to that.
Tom says in the chat, pretty sure you guys are the only San Diego radio show to sponsor an SDSU athlete.
That's exactly right.
I mean,
out of our own pockets.
Don't come to us.
I mean, yeah, Steve Sugimoto stayed, proud, is now a professional golfer. So I don't know.
We're doing our part.
It's just a weird correlation to me that we don't have any control over those guys leaving. And I don't think if we did wall-to-wall Aztecs coverage here, Which we'd be foolish to do.
Tony says Ben refuses to ignore. San Diego could be the best even with the right leadership. They have the right leadership. Dutcher's doing a fantastic
He's
job.
The right leader.
They've gotten to the Final Four, the Sweet 16 the last 2 years. Better than Kentucky's done. Financially, though, there's nothing that he can do. There's nothing that they can do. Just like there's nothing the Padres can do to match the Dodgers financially.
Hey, Kawhi Leonard, we need $5 million a year.
The Padres will never have a bigger TV contract. No matter how many, they could win the next 40 World Series in a row.
It's not going to happen.
They will never have a bigger TV contract than the Dodgers have. It will always be a fraction, a tiny fraction of what the Dodgers are getting. I'm talking financially.
You got to direct your anger elsewhere because it doesn't make any sense.
San Diego State can have all the success on the court. They may have more success next year with new players and great coaching like they always do. But financially, they will never be able to stop players from looking at the greener grass other places because there will be more money the way the system is currently at least formulated. You can get more elsewhere than you will be able to get at San Diego State, and that is constant. That will be a constant until the system changes.
Agreed.
All right, Jesse Agler will join us when we come back. The Incorporator, get his thoughts, his words of usual rationality that we get from Jesse on Tuesday mornings. Going to be tough week for the Padres. He will be with us next on 97.3 The Fan. Be right back. Whew. It's been a morning.
It has.
It's been a morning. And it is tough when your baseball team has led after exactly one inning over the past four-plus days.
When you get blamed for the basketball team losing star players, that's a tough morning. It's hard to swallow in here.
I agree. Jesse Agler is standing by. We will chat with the voice of the Padres, see how he's taking all of this right after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. All right, Jesse Agler is with us, the voice of the Padres. You can hear him here on 97.3 The Fan. Jesse, it has been a tough week for the Padres, to be sure, and I do think that I think Woodsy had the best thought this morning when he said the reason the Padres have struggled at home is they're getting off to slow starts with their starting pitching, and they're constantly putting themselves behind in the first inning. That is no way to win baseball games. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, let's jump right into it. I think that's true, and look, that can be the truth on the road also. I think it's probably a little bit too early to jump into the home road stuff. Obviously, Your point about the home team coming to bat last is relevant, to this specific thing. But yeah, I mean, falling behind early, has kind of been a trend all year, or giving up early runs and at times scoring early runs too. And, they showed some grit and some mettle early on this season with some comeback wins, not just the two big ones, but some sort of more normal ones as well. But I think even at the time, you sort of realize, all right, this is not necessarily a formula you want to follow all year long. It makes for some excitement. It makes for some fun. It makes for some drama, which we're all certainly in favor of. But you can't be doing that all the time because you're not going to be able to come back at that kind of pace. That's just not the way this sport works. So, yes, quicker starts. I even remember, I think Joe Musgrove said something about that after, his last good one. He said, it was really important to kind of go out there, put up some early zeros and kind of establish that. And that's definitely something we'll be keeping an eye on. Like I said, I don't think of it too much as a home road thing just yet. Although I know the home record is what it is, but I do think that giving up those early runs is something that is something we should all be paying a lot of attention to.
Yeah, I remember telling Ben a few weeks ago after another, and I don't think it was after one of the big ones, one of the big comeback wins. It was one of the kind of middling ones, but hey, those still count, and that's a win in the book. I remember telling Ben, hey, if the identity of this team this year are the Cardiac Kids, I don't know if I can handle it. I mean, everyone was on edge, and yeah, not so far the last five games. It's tough. Last, look, I somebody in the chat said, no, Lodolo's been really good. He's got nasty stuff. He does. They all do. I mean, you could literally say that about damn near every pitcher in the big leagues. He's got nasty stuff. And, at some point, it's tough to tip your cap five games in a row. And I love Schilte.
You're not tipping your cap five games in a row. You're tipping your cap probably three of the five games.
Three of five.
And that is part of baseball. And look, Lodolo is really good. I don't care that, Joe Fan has never heard of him. He's really good.
He is.
He plays in Cincinnati. He's been hurt a lot, so people don't necessarily know of him. Nola's really good and pitching great. Ranger Suarez is also
phenomenal.
Like an early Cy Young type campaign. So, like, those three guys, and whether you want to tip your cap or not is fine. You certainly don't have to. But, like, yes, you know, those are the kinds of guys that, you know, you're going to have to beat every once in a while. But those aren't necessarily the ones that are going to drive me to an early grade, those games.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be the Thursday in Colorado. It's going to be not taking more advantage of Taiwan Walker. Those are the ones I feel like that deserve a little bit more attention, maybe, than like when the guy who's really, really good comes in and pitches really, really well. It's like, all right, on to the next. But, you know, there can only be so many of those if you're not going to balance them out with taking care of business in the games that you need to.
And I think for me, the Lodolo one last night is like, oh, this is a guy that has looked good. He does have nasty stuff. And you've got him on the ropes a little bit, and then, you know, then it stops. I think that's the more frustrating part for me. You know, some not great ABs, you know, in the game. And, man, he was mowing them down. I mean, at one point, it was just like, holy cow, there's 12. Oh, there's 15. There's 18. I mean, it was pretty anemic last night. But, you know, he found something, made an adjustment, and locked in. And it was actually, you know, if I take my emotions out of it, a really, really impressive performance by that young man last night.
Yeah, it was. And again, look, you know, all those in a row are not, you know, that's hard to totally excuse, right? You know, I mean, you got to get some base traffic at some point and make life a little bit difficult on him. But he was that good. He really was. And like, look, not that you're rooting for this or anything, but like, good teams have been no hit before. So like, you know, you're entitled to a few of those, but when they come in bunches, you know, I can understand, you know, the alarm of it all. And it's been a very tough 5 days. The crazy thing is, you know, I mean, that's just like the nature of baseball season. If you go back to Thursday before the meltdown against Colorado, I think everybody was feeling really good about this team. You know, they're playing good baseball. They appeared like they were going to be taking care of business against an inferior team. They were getting really good starting pitching. And it's just a reminder, I guess, to all of us about how quickly things can kind of swing back and forth in a baseball season. And it's emotionally draining if you're living and dying with every pitcher, every game, as I know a lot of people listening right now do. And that can be tough. So a bad 5 days, hopefully now a good 7 or 8 days coming up.
Jesse, I consider myself a fairly knowledgeable baseball fan, and I enjoy understanding the quirky rules of the game. I get the infield fly.
You
I know
like
how
it.
To do a double switch. I know all these things. So when something comes up in a baseball game that even I am completely ignorant to, I'm surprised. And I know you don't get on a soapbox a lot, but when there is a situation that happens in a game and we're all either at the game and not knowing what's going on, or listening on our radios and not knowing what's going on, or watching on television and not knowing what's going on, yet there's someone who could explain it, someone who has a microphone attached to their body, they could explain what's going on, and they don't do it. I know that frustrates you. There was a situation in the second inning involving a very unusual balk call, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, we figured it out on our own, you know, Scans and I, but that's not how it should work, right? Like, we shouldn't have to spend half an inning being like, oh, maybe it was this. Oh, you know what? I just saw the replay. You know, he didn't tell the umpire he was going out of the windup. Because, as you said, that's a little bit of like one of those hidden little rules that most people don't know about. It reminded me a little bit, remember the football game this year where the guy, you know, they checked in as eligible and like nobody knew what was
going on.
And like there was great controversy. It's like kind of one of those sorts of things, you know, that was taking place. And yeah, I've talked to people at MLB about this, and they have just basically said, hey, our policy for the time being is that the umpire microphone will only be used for challenges. And when I pushed back on that, I think they've sort of silently acknowledged, yes, we understand there's more we could do. We're just not there yet. So I do hope at some point they get to it. But then, yes, when something like last night happens, I think it's important to point out, hey, this is a really perfect opportunity, because Todd Fischner, the home plate umpire, the crew chief, as you said, literally is wearing a microphone on his jersey. And, you know, he points out to the mound. It was clearly a balk, but it's a weird balk because it doesn't have anything to do with, you know, moving or anything like that. It just had to do with he didn't tell the umpire that he was going out of the windup. And with Matt Waldron, his windup and his stretch are almost identical.
Yeah, they're eerily similar.
In the stands, right, if you're in the stands, there is almost no way that you would ever have any idea what's going on, which, oh, by the way, even if you look down for 2 seconds to crack open a peanut shell, you look back up and you're like, what the heck is going on? And there's no way for the paying people in the building, 40,000 of them last night, to know what's going on if they're not listening to the broadcast. And as you said, we even took a couple of minutes to have to kind of figure out what had taken place right there. It's such an obvious time for Todd Tishner to get on the microphone and be like, balk was called, the pitcher didn't say he was pitching out of the windup, and he did. You know, the run scores. And people would have booed, but, like, that's fine. At least everybody would have known what was going on. And to bring another football analogy back into it, like, imagine if, you know, they threw a penalty flag and they marched off 10 yards backwards from the line of scrimmage, and there was no signal or no announcement to the fans. Everybody would be looking around, be like, all right, it's 10 yards. It was probably holding on an offensive player, but I'm not entirely sure. You think it was the left guard? No, it might have been the tackle. Like, what kind of – that would never happen. Like, that kind of operation would be ridiculous. And it doesn't happen as much in baseball, of course. Most things are more straightforward than that. But last night, perfect example. And, yes, I got on my soapbox. And, you know, that would have been a great opportunity for Major League Baseball to say, you know what, these are the kinds of ones where we could be explaining it to the fans.
I'll do you one better. How about this? Speaking of football, guys are wide receivers, and they get up, they get on the line, they put their foot down. There's a guy standing there to let them know that they're on the line, right?
Back up.
On what planet can the umpire not know or say to Matt Waldron, wind up or stretch? Stretch, okay. I mean, how effing hard is that to do, right?
Well, I think it is the responsibility of the pitcher.
If you're going to go out
of the windup, it's the responsibility. I don't agree with that necessarily because, you know, similarly, let's keep going with football here. You have the check-in thing. You have to check in. It's not the referee's responsibility to go up to you and be like, hey, are you
off?
Like, you're the guy. In that situation. And it was just like, you know, one of those brief mental lapses and a weird thing that you see maybe once every 2 or 3 years, you know, if you watch a team. So,
look,
you know, it was a mental lapse. It was a thing that happened. The call is right. My issue is not with the fact that the call was made. My issue is the fact that you have 40,000 people who spent really good money to be in the building, and probably 11 of them were able to figure out what happened.
I mean, like, football referees, they go to the microphone 25 times a game.
Yes.
Basketball referees do it now, too. They got a TV monitor that's just for them, to a camera, like, to look into, to explain
how
everything.
How many times would a baseball umpire really need to do it? Twice a game, maybe? Like, let's make it happen.
If that. Yeah. Yeah. No, they're aware of it. And, you know, look, baseball in the current era, I give them credit. You know, they are far more open to change than they've ever been, obviously, with all the rule adjustments. But, you know, some of these things do take time. And I imagine, you know, they're dealing with the umpires union on this. And, you know, there's some sensitivities there and all that. But we're getting there. And it's something I do think we're going to see at some point, but not this year.
Getting you, Darvish, back. Hope Padres are looking forward to tonight. They really do need, Jesse, though, more consistency out of their starting pitching. There was that one nice turn through the rotation for everybody, but other than that, it's been very hit or miss and actually too much miss for the most part.
No doubt. And, I mean, if you look at the way they've lost most of these last five games, you know, Friday, Saturday, yesterday, certainly, it's because the other team's starting pitching came in and dominated. And I'm not suggesting you need eight out of everybody like we saw from the Phillies in the first two games of that series, or that you even need something like Lodolo last night, but you need better. There's no doubt about it. Look, I think, you know, Tony and I have had a lot of conversations on the air and off the air about this team, obviously. And one of the things he jumped on, probably the first week of the season, and we've talked about it a lot, is that just kind of looking at this team right now, not to say this is going to be the case all year, but certainly this version of the 2024 Padres, the early season version, this collection of guys, there is very little margin for error. And we don't necessarily mean literal errors like, you know, an infielder boots a ball.
Yeah.
Although we've certainly seen that, you know, impact this team in a big way. But whether it's a bad start or even a bad inning for a starting pitcher, whether it's a base running mistake, whether it is a normal defensive error, all those things, they are just not built, it seems right now, to be able to absorb those kinds of mistakes. So they're going to have to play very clean baseball to win. And normally when we say that, we're talking base running and defense. But I think, you know, for this year's team right now, the starting pitching has to be a part of that conversation as well. And look, I guess you could say it about any team in baseball history. If you don't get good starting pitching, you're going to have trouble. But I think that's, you know, particularly true. That's sort of been my read on this team and kind of the way the lens I've looked through every game at. is all right, you know, they're going to have to play close to mistake-free baseball in pretty much every way. And if they don't, they're going to be in a bad position. And again, it doesn't mean that as the year goes on and guys heat up and maybe, you know, the roster changes a little bit, that there won't be a bigger cushion, you know, for some of these things. But right now, this version of the team really cannot afford offensive lulls. They cannot afford base running mistakes. They cannot
It's been a morning.
Yes.
It's been a morning. And it is tough when your baseball team has led after exactly one inning over the past four plus days.
When you get blamed for the basketball team losing star players, that's a tough morning. It's hard to swallow in here.
I agree. Jesse Agler is standing by. We will chat with the voice of the Padres. See how he's taking all of this right after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. All right, Jesse Agler is with us, the voice of the Padres. You can hear him here on 97.3 The Fan. Jesse, it has been a tough week for the Padres, to be sure. And I do think that, you know, I think Woodsy had the best thought this morning when he said the reason the Padres have struggled at home is they're getting off to slow starts with their starting pitching, and they're constantly putting themselves behind in the first inning. That is no way to win baseball games. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, let's jump right into it. I think that's true, and look, that can be the truth on the road also. I think
It's
probably a little bit too early to jump into the home road stuff. Obviously, your point about the home team coming to bat last is relevant, you know, to this specific thing. But, yeah, I mean, falling behind early, you know, has kind of been a trend all year, or giving up early runs, and at times scoring early runs too. And, you know, they showed some grit and some metal early on this season with some comeback wins, not just the two big ones, but some sort of more normal ones as well. But I think even at the time, you sort of realize, all right, this is not necessarily, you know, a formula you want to follow all year long. It makes for some excitement. It makes for some fun. It makes for some drama, which we're all certainly in favor of. But you can't be doing that all the time, because you're not going to be able to come back at that kind of pace. That's just not the way this sport works. So, yes. You know, quicker starts. I even remember, I think Joe Musgrove said something about that after, you know, his last good one. He said, you know, it was really important to kind of go out there, put up some early zeros, and kind of establish that. And, that's definitely something we'll be keeping an eye on. Like I said, I don't think of it too much as a home road thing just yet. Although I know the home record is what it is. But I do think, you know, that giving up those early runs is something that is something we should all be paying a lot of attention to.
Yeah, I remember telling Ben a few weeks ago after, you know, another, and I don't think it was after one of the big ones, one of the big comeback wins. It was one of the kind of middling ones, but hey, those still count, and that's a win in the book. I remember telling Ben, hey, if the identity of this team this year are the Cardiac Kids, I don't know if I can handle it. I mean, everyone was on edge, and yeah, not so far the last five games. It's tough. Last, you know, look, I somebody in the chat said, no, Lodolo's been really good. He's got nasty stuff. He does. They all do, though. They all do. I mean, you could literally say that about damn near every pitcher in the big leagues. You know, he's got nasty stuff. And, you know, at some point, it's tough to tip your cap five games in a row. And I love Schilte.
Well, you're not tipping your cap five games in a row. You're tipping your cap probably three of the five.
Three of five.
And that is part of baseball, you know. And look, Lodolo is really good. I don't care that, you know, Joe fan has never heard of him. He's really good.
He is.
He plays in Cincinnati. He's been hurt a lot, so people don't necessarily know of him. Nola's really good and pitching great. Ranger Suarez is also
phenomenal.
Like an early Cy Young type campaign. So, like, those three guys, and whether you want to tip your cap or not is fine. You certainly don't have to. But, like, yes, you know, those are the kinds of guys that, you know, you're going to have to beat every once in a while. But those aren't necessarily the ones that are going to drive me to an early grade, those games.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be the Thursday in Colorado. It's going to be not taking more advantage of Taiwan Walker. Those are the ones I feel like that deserve a little bit more attention, maybe, than like when the guy who's really, really good comes in and pitches really, really well. It's like, all right, on to the next. But, you know, there can only be so many of those if you're not going to balance them out with taking care of business in the games that you need to.
And I think for me, the Lodolo one last night is like, oh, this is a guy that has looked good. He does have nasty stuff. And you've got him on the ropes a little bit, and then, you know, then it stops. I think that's the more frustrating part for me. You know, some not great ABs, you know, in the game. And, man, he was mowing them down. I mean, at one point, it was just like, holy cow, there's 12. Oh, there's 15. There's 18. I mean, it was pretty anemic last night. But, you know, he found something. made an adjustment and locked in. And it was actually, you know, if I take my emotions out of it, a really, really impressive performance by that young man last night.
Yeah, it was. And again, look, you know, all those in a row are not, you know, that's hard to totally excuse, right? You know, I mean, you got to get some base traffic at some point,
yeah,
and make life a little bit difficult on him. But he was that good. He really was. And like, look, not that you're rooting for this or anything, but like, good teams have been no hit before. So like,
oh, yeah,
you know, you're entitled to a few of those, but when they come in bunches, you know, I can understand, you know, the alarm of it all. And it's been a very tough 5 days. The crazy thing is, you know, I mean, that's just like the nature of baseball season. If you go back to Thursday before the meltdown against Colorado, I think everybody was feeling really good about this team. You know, they're playing good baseball. They appeared like they were going to be taking care of business against an inferior team. They were getting really good starting pitching. And it's just a reminder, I guess, to all of us about how quickly things can kind of swing back and forth in a baseball season. And it's emotionally draining if you're living and dying with every pitcher, every game, as I know a lot of people listening right now do. And that can be tough. So a bad 5 days, hopefully now a good 7 or 8 days coming up.
Jesse, I consider myself a fairly knowledgeable baseball fan, and I enjoy understanding the quirky rules of the game. I get the infield fly.
You
I know
like
how
it.
To do a double switch. I know all these things. So when something comes up in a baseball game that even I am completely ignorant to, I'm surprised. And I know you don't get on a soapbox a lot, but when there is a situation that happens in a game and we're all either at the game and not knowing what's going on, or listening on our radios and not knowing what's going on, or watching on television and not knowing what's going on, yet there's someone who could explain it, someone who has a microphone attached to their body. They could explain what's going on, and they don't do it. I know that frustrates you. There was a situation in the second inning involving a very unusual balk call, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, we figured it out on our own, you know, Scans and I, but that's not how it should work, right? Like, we shouldn't have to spend half an inning being like, oh, maybe it was this. Oh, you know what? I just saw the replay. You know, he didn't tell the umpire he was going out of the windup. Because as you said, that's a little bit of like one of those hidden little rules that most people don't know about. It reminded me a little bit, remember the football game this year where they got, you know, they checked in as eligible and like nobody knew what was
that's
going
right.
on
yeah.
and like there was great controversy. It's like kind of one of those sorts of things, you know, that was taking place. And yeah, I've talked to people at MLB about this and they have just basically said, hey, our policy for the time being is that the umpire microphone will only be used for challenges. And when I've pushed back on that, I think they've sort of silently acknowledged, yes, we understand there's more we could do. We're just not there yet. So I do hope at some point they get to it. But then, yes, when something like last night happens, I think it's important to point out, hey, this is a really perfect opportunity because Todd Fischner, the home plate umpire, the crew chief, as you said, literally is wearing a microphone on his jersey. And, you know, he points out to the mound. It was clearly a balk, but it's a weird balk because it doesn't have anything to do with, you know, moving or anything like that. It just had to do with he didn't tell the umpire that he was going out of the windup. And with Matt Waldron, his windup and his stretch are almost identical.
Yeah, they're eerily
so
similar.
In the stands, right, if you're in the stands, there is almost no way that you would ever have any idea what's going on, which, oh, by the way, even if you look down for 2 seconds to crack open a peanut shell, you look back up and you're like, what the heck is going on? And there's no way for the paying people in the building, 40,000 of them last night, to know what's going on if they're not listening to the broadcast. And as you said, we even took a couple of minutes to have to kind of figure out what had taken place right there. It's such an obvious time for Todd Fischner to get on the microphone and be like, balk was called, the pitcher didn't say he was pitching out of the windup, and he did, you know, the run scores. And people would have booed, but like, that's fine. At least everybody would have known what was going on. And to bring another football analogy back into it, like, imagine if, you know, they threw a penalty flag and they marched off 10 yards backwards from the line of scrimmage, and there was no signal or no announcement to the fans. Everybody would be looking around, being like, all right, it's 10 yards. It was probably holding on an offensive player, but I'm not entirely sure. You think it was the left guard? No, it might have been the tackle. Like, what kind of – that would never happen. Like, that kind of operation would be ridiculous, and it doesn't happen as much in baseball, of course. Most things are more straightforward than that, but last night, perfect example. And, yes, I got on my soapbox. And, you know, that would have been a great opportunity for Major League Baseball to say, you know what, these are the kinds of ones where we could be explaining it to the fans.
I'll do you one better. How about this? Speaking of football, guys are wide receivers, and they get up, they get on the line, they put their foot down. There's a guy standing there to let them know that they're on the line, right?
Back up, back up.
On what planet can the umpire not know or say to Matt Waldron, wind up or stretch? Stretch, okay. I mean, how effing hard is that to do, right?
Well, I think it is the responsibility of the pitcher.
Oh, well, fine. But
if you're
going to
go out of the windup, it's the responsibility. I don't agree with that necessarily because, you know, similarly, let's keep going with football here. Like the check-in thing. You have to check in. It's not the referee's responsibility to go up to you and be like, hey, are you
off?
Like, you're the guy. In that situation. And it was just like, you know, one of those brief mental lapses and a weird thing that you see maybe once every 2 or 3 years, you know, if you watch a team. So, it was a mental lapse. It was a thing that happened. The call is right. My issue is not with the fact that the call was made. My issue is the fact that you got 40,000 people who spent really good money to be in the building and probably 11 of them were able to figure out what happened.
I mean, like football referees, they go to the microphone 25 times a game.
Yes. Basketball referees do it now, too. They got a TV monitor that's just for them, to a camera, like, to look into, to explain
how
everything.
How many times would a baseball umpire really need to do it? Twice a game, maybe? Like, let's make it happen.
If that. Yeah. Yeah. No, they're aware of it. And, you know, look, baseball in the current era, I give them credit. You know, they are far more open to change than they've ever been, obviously, with all the rule adjustments. But, you know, some of these things do take time. And I imagine, you know, they're dealing with the umpires union on this. And, you know, there's some sensitivities there and all that. But we're getting there. And it's something I do think we're going to see at some point, but not this year.
Getting you, Darvish, back. Hope Padres are looking forward to tonight. They really do need, Jesse, though, more consistency out of their starting pitching. There was that one nice turn through the rotation for everybody, but other than that, it's been very hit or miss and actually too much miss for the most part.
No doubt. And I mean, if you look at the way they've lost most of these last five games, you know, Friday, Saturday, yesterday, certainly, it's because the other team's starting pitching came in and dominated. And I'm not suggesting you need eight out of everybody like we saw from the Phillies in the first two games of that series, or that you even need something like Lodolo last night, but you need better. There's no doubt about it. Look, I think, you know, Tony and I have had a lot of conversations on the air and off the air about this team, obviously. And one of the things he jumped on, probably the first week of the season, and we've talked about it a lot, is that just kind of looking at this team right now, not to say this is going to be the case all year, but certainly this version of the 2024 Padres, the early season version, this collection of guys, there is very little margin for error. And we don't necessarily mean literal errors like, you know, an infielder boots a ball.
Yeah.
Although we've certainly seen that, you know, impact this team in a big way. But whether it's a bad start or even a bad inning for a starting pitcher, whether it's a base running mistake, whether it is a normal defensive error, all those things, they are just not built, it seems right now, to be able to absorb those kinds of mistakes. So they're going to have to play very clean baseball to win. And normally when we say that, we're talking base running and defense. But I think, you know, for this year's team right now, the starting pitching has to be a part of that conversation as well. And look, I guess you could say it about any team in baseball history. If you don't get good starting pitching, you're going to have trouble. But I think that's, you know, particularly true. That's sort of been my read on this team and kind of the way the lens I've looked through every game at. Is all right, you know, they're going to have to play close to mistake-free baseball in pretty much every way. And if they don't, they're going to be in a bad position. And again, it doesn't mean that as the year goes on and guys heat up and maybe, you know, the roster changes a little bit, that there won't be a bigger cushion, you know, for some of these things. But right now, this version of the team really cannot afford offensive lulls. They cannot afford base running mistakes. They cannot afford a starting pitcher even having two bad innings. That's just sort of the way they are right now. And so, it's very easy to kind of look around and be like, that's the reason they lost last night. That's the reason they lost 2 days ago. They're gonna have to clean some of that stuff up. And they certainly know that. I mean, you listen or read what all the pitchers have to say after these games. You know, they know that's not good enough. And while it's nice that, you know, starting pitcher X settled in after the second inning and gave them some length and was able to chew up some innings that you didn't have to ask the bullpen to chew up, you know, those four or five runs that you allowed in the first two innings, that can sink the ship. And these guys are well aware of that.
Well, you're going to have to play very clean in Corporator going forward because Tony seems to be on to you. Last week, Snollygoster, he definitely noticed when you incorporated that word.
Are you back
no
with,
doubt about it.
Back with Tony tonight, or is it Scan again?
Scans for the whole series.
Oh, yeah. Scan okay. for the whole series. Scan, okay,
he's,
so Scan.
He's sharp. Played Incorporator before, so yeah. he's sharp. I wonder if he'll yeah. be listening in. And speaking of the ship sinking, we've got a nautical term for you today on the Incorporator. Today's Incorporator word is
baggy wrinkle.
There it is.
Oh, what was it?
Said it in chorus.
Baggy wrinkle.
Baggy wrinkle.
Oh, I thought you were going to do poop deck.
No, baggy wrinkle. It's a soft covering for cables to reduce sail chafe.
Chafe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a fun one.
So you don't want those ropes tearing a hole in the sail. So you put the baggy wrinkle, which is kind of like a soft material that goes around the cords to make sure that your
First
sail
of all,
stays in good shape.
We call them lines on a ship.
A line.
Oh,
you're a sailing man.
We're going to do terminology. Sailor. You
the
old
rigging.
Sailor,
the
you?
Rigging.
There you go.
Baggy wrinkle.
We don't say ropes.
Baggy
we say
wrinkle.
Lines on a
line. I'm sorry,
okay.
The baggy wrinkle.
Baggy wrinkle.
Not all of us are sailors like yourself, Jesse Agler.
I mean, we're in a sailing town.
We are.
Nautical. You've got a view of the harbor.
Imagine if Dennis Connor's listening right now. Like, how is he going to feel hearing you
sick to his stomach?
Call it a rope.
A rope.
Sick.
Baggy
He's
wrinkle.
He's going to throw something at his radio.
I can't wait.
Baggy
to hear
wrinkle
this one.
On the lines or. Rigging,
rigging
of the ship or the sailboat of some sort. But that's your word for tonight, baggy wrinkle.
Thank you, Jesse.
Love it. Can't wait.
Right,
hang
buddy.
In there.
All right, we will.
Thank you, Jesse.
All right.
Thanks, Jesse.
Feel a little bit better after talking to Jesse.
I wonder I wanted to ask him if he ever had to climb the ropes at school and how he did. Once you bring anytime you bring up ropes, I just get PTSD from climbing the ropes. No baggy wrinkles on those. Chafing was
lots of chafing
prevalent.
Ow. Rope burn is the
rope
worst.
Burn. I'm going to Disneyland tomorrow. I just realized I have to put in some powder so that I don't chafe walking around. You use the powder?
I
like
don't
the
use
Gold
any
Bond?
Powder.
Never.
No.
And you play golf and you don't use really.
Don't.
You don't use Gold Bond.
I don't.
A little Gold Bond.
Got to have it.
Yeah.
Hmm. Really? You don't chafe?
I mean, not usually.
Oh,
but
interesting.
Certainly have in the past.
Yeah, it's not fun. Disneyland will bring it out of you, too. A lot of sweating, a lot of walking.
You used to have like a rope climbing course on Tom Sawyer's Island.
Ooh, maybe I'll try
it. I don't
know
if they still have that anymore.
I'll make sure Hannah gets video if she has it.
I don't know. When I go to an amusement park, the last thing I wanted to have to do is climb ropes.
Yeah,
that's not fun or vacation-like for me.
But if you do, we'll need video.
All right, I'll get it to you. Baggy wrinkle. I like it.
We got 1 hour to go. Our friend AJ Casavell is back on the beat.
Angel.
He's a new dad. And he is scheduled to join us to kick off our 9 a.m. hour. Do not go anywhere. More Bennett Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.